Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, Text 48. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Kim. Durapam mayi prate tatapi vibhudar shabha mayi ekanta matir nanyam nanyan mato vanchati tatpavit. Kim durapam mayi prite, tatapi vibhudar shabha, maye kanta matir nanyam, mato vanchati tatpavit.
Kim durapamayi prite,
Kim durapamayi prite,
tatapi vibhudhar shabha,
tatapi vibhudhar shabha,
maye kanta matir nanyan,
maye kanta matir nanyan,
mato vanchati tatvavit,
mato vanchati tatvavit.
Anybody else have a phone? Okay. Any ladies chant? Kim, what? Durapam. Difficult to obtain. Mayi. When I. Prite. Satisfied. Tatapi. Still. Vibhudha Rishabha. O best of the intelligent demigods. Mayi. In me. Ekanta. Exclusively fixed. Mati. Whose attention. Na'anyat.
Not
anything else.
Mataha.
Then me.
Vanchati.
Desires. Tatpavit. One who knows the truth. Translation. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy, Vritrasura, to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty one can get anything he desires, if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Ancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the demigods, fearing for their life, they prayed to the Supreme Lord, and now he's responding to them that this is not the highest thing, although it's still effective. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharavi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushampram. Even if you have a kama, no objective, sarva kama, all objectives, moksha kama, objectives for liberation, tivrena bhakti yogena, if you perform devotional service, like Dhruva Maharaj did. His practice was really intense and really determined. And it was focusing on Krishna. But his motive was not pure, but still he achieved what he wants. Sometimes there's quotes in the Bhagavatam that I remember and I can't find, but they're really interesting. One of Prabhupada's purport. It's some verse where Krishna says, you know, if someone prays to him for material things, for that foolish person, I will give him what he wants, but that's all they'll get. So he's lamenting the Supreme Lord. He's regretting that they didn't just take full shelter on him. You know, when you read purports like this and you study the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, many, many verses come up that reference it. I was thinking one verse in the Shikshastaka. Nidhanam, Nijanam, Nisundarim, Kavitam, Bhag, Gajisha Kame, Mama Jamini, Jamini, Bhavatad, Bhakti, Ahoitaki, Twaye. That's Lord Chaitanya's humility at the stage of Ruchi. I don't have. That's the nature of bhakti. The nature of bhakti is that when you have it, the more you have it, the less you feel you have it. Because bhakti is a desire. So desire means I want something. So the desire increases. It creates even more want. You feel you don't have any devotion. So he's praying. And he's praying what? Actually, that verse, Nidhanam, Nijanam, Nisundarim, Kap, it exactly parallels, if you think about it, the definition of pure devotional service. Because the definition of pure devotional service by Rupa Goswami has a Sarup Lakshanam and a Tattastha Lakshanam. The Sarup Lakshanam is what, in essence, when you define something, what it is. And just to make it more refined, the Tattastha Lakshanam is what it's not. Because the definition should be very, very precise. So what is bhavatad bhaktir, ahoit the ki twayi, without any motive, I want God. That's the sarup lakshanam. That's what the essence of bhakti is. Without any motive, I want God. That's anya bilashita shunyam. No, that's anukuyena krishnanu shilanam bhakta uttama. What is pure devotional service is anukulyena, means favorably, anukulyena krishna anu shilanam, favorably everything I do, directly and indirectly, with mind, body, and words, krishna anu, they follow Krishna. What does that mean? They follow what Krishna wants. That's the definition of the core of bhakti. You're simply focused on love. What does Krishna want? And then the Tattastha Lakshanam is what? Without any other desires, not covered by karma again. So, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadish, Mama Jamni. I don't want what? Karma? I don't want Gyan. I don't want anything else, but I want to serve. That actually is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses that that's the platform of ruchi or taste. The previous verse is nishta. Why nishta? What's the previous verse in the Shikshastakam you chant it every morning? Chanadapi sinichena tur. And why is it nishta? Because it's nishta. Nishta has two aspects. It has to be nishta in your activities, your practices, and nishta in your behavior. So there's nishta. Kirtaniya siddhahari. It's nishta. I'm always chanting. That's nishta. And nishta in my behavior. And what's behavior for a Vaishnava? It's what? It's humility, it's tolerance, and respect. That's nishta for a Vaishnava. Humility, tolerance, and respect, and always chanting. This is actually this is actually the essence of Krishna consciousness. Some people, they want to have Raganuga Bhakti, Radhe Radhe. They want the highest thing. So you want to get the highest thing? Then follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the Prayojana Acharya. And what is Prayojana? Prayojana is the goal. What is the goal? The goal is priti, or love, or prem. You want the goal. So how do you get the goal? Well, we have to follow. Raganuga. We have to follow. And who do we follow? We should follow the devotees who are the exemplars of that. So who's the exemplars of Prayojana, of the goal? It's Raghunath Das Goswami. And he came to Lord Chaitanya. And he came to Lord Chaitanya and he wanted to ask him a question of what is the sadhana, what is the practice, and what is the goal. He wanted to ask him. So he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first thing? Well, you know, just ask Sarup Damodar. He knows more than me. I put you under Sarup Damodar. You learn from him. But then he said, And then he thought about it and he said, let me give him an instruction. This is the Priyojana Acharya. Let me give him the instruction. And then he gives him the verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sishna Amanina Madinana Kirtaniya Siddhahari. You're the Priyojana Acharya. What do? You do four things. You have humility, you have tolerance, you have respect, and you chant the holy name always. Very significant, that verse. And then when you are fixed in that way, then you'll get taste. And what is taste? Taste is when you don't want anything else. That's pure devotional service. When really in your heart, you're fixed in these things, you're chanting always, and your heart will become purified. And when your heart becomes purified, then you'll have the right desire. What is the right desire? I don't want these things, I want this. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want to become entangled in the opposite sex. I don't want to be learned artificially. I don't want any power in this world. The accoutrements of power. These are the accoutrements of power. You get wealth. And you have beauty. And you have a beautiful mate. And you have material education. It's power. I want those things. Because if I get those things, I can control the world. The extent I have them, I can control. The extent I can control, I can enjoy. That's my objective. But now I have a different objective. I don't want any of those things. All I want is service, not even liberation. In the Sringadev's appearance with the little festival we had, Radhanath Swami quoted a very important verse that I think it's from this chapter. I'm not sure exactly where it's coming or soon. Narayana Parasarave Nakuchas Chanya Bibhyati Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Api Tulyakta Darshanam. One who actually has that love, Narayana Parayana, is loves God. Narayana Parayana Nakucha Swaga Pavarga Narakeshu. They don't care. They don't care where they are. Pavarga Narakeshu, hell, their only goal is service. I only want service. I tell this story kind of often because it's such a good example of this. That the devotee, he only wants service. I told this story before that somehow or other, maybe 1981 or something, I was visiting Mayapur. And while I was visiting Mayapur, at that time, they didn't have even the temple they have now. It was a very small kind of temple, but it was a temple. And I was in front of the deities. They had a kind of an area roped off for the sannyasis. And then maybe only... It's hard to believe now, but I remember times in Vrindavan, you know, when there's 30 or 40 people in Mangalartik. I remember times in Vrindavan where Prabhupada comes out of his room and there's 5 people. So, just staying there before I look back and George Harrison is in the Mangalartik. And then I remember he circumambulated Tulsi, and I poured water on his hand, and no one knows what you do when you pour water on your hand, on your head, what is it for? And then he went to tour the grounds because his hobby was horticulture. He loved plants. And then there was this devotee there who made the most beautiful gardens in Mayapur. His name was Kanva. And the gardens in Mayapur, before they put up the temple of Vedic Planetarium, I'm not criticizing because they'll put gardens before, but the gardens he made were just so exquisitely beautiful. And he knew so much about gardening, it was unbelievable. Even though externally, by culture, you wouldn't think he had so much knowledge. He was actually, and this is interesting, you know, hippies came to the movement. He predated the hippies. He was a beatnik. And he used to say everything. He used to call it, he used to end everything with the word daddy-o or something like that. Or daddy. He would always say daddy. And then George Harrison, I was walking because there were so few people. So Jai Pitakamart said, you could come along. So I was walking and George Harrison was asking, is this plant there and this plant there? And this person knew even the Latin. So he said, is this plant there? And he would go something like, Aphidophilus, Aphidophilus, Daddy. And then he would point to the plant. And he saw all the plants. And then when he came back, I was standing right behind him when George Harrison asked him, he said, if you come to Hawaii this summer, I'll pay your ticket and why don't you come for the summer? And I'll pay your ticket. And he said in beatnik language, at least this doesn't have to be translated into another language, he said, I got bucks in the bank and grapes in the cupboard. He said, all I could want is more service. So that's the faith. It's a question of your faith. That's the faith of a devotee. And Prabhupada defined faith in such a beautiful way. Unflinching trust in something sublime. So where is your faith? We're all tested where our faith is. Is your faith in service? Or is your faith in things? A devotee has faith. He really believes that this is where sublimity lies. And he dedicates his life to that. And he makes sacrifice for that. And the symptom of that faith is that he surrendered to Krishna. That's the symptom. There are six symptoms of faith. When you have this conviction, and I say faith is trust by evidence, you've had some type of experience in your life, even if your consciousness is not there, somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, some drop, maybe it's nambas, maybe you came and you were innocent, your heart was opened, somehow or other that touched your heart, and you had a drop of that this is real happiness, and you have that conviction, then when you have that conviction, then there are six symptoms of that faith. That you want this. You want pure devotional service. Six symptoms of that faith. The first symptom is, when you have a choice, your choice is, I do what is favorable for my devotional service and the pleasure of Krishna. Second symptom of faith, I avoid what is unfavorable I am humble. I have faith in that. I have faith not in the superior position that belongs to Krishna. I have faith in the subordinate position that belongs to his servants. And I don't have this egotistical problem of not being superior or it being vulnerable. I don't mind if I make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. I have faith that the best thing is the humble position. And what is the last? I know there are two more. And then I have faith that Krishna will maintain me and Krishna will protect me. And what does it mean that Krishna will protect me? What's that faith that you'll be tested? And Bhakti Sundarbha Jiva Goswami gives the definition. He says, I have faith that whatever God does is best. That's a tough one. Whatever God does is best. When you advance in Krishna consciousness, that'll be one of the tests, that things happen that are against your desire and you don't condemn God because you have a different perspective of what is best. Your perspective of what is best is not that you can enjoy and control the world and therefore you condemn God when it doesn't come. Why is God doing this to me? And he's not giving me the power. He's not giving me the control. He's not moving the world around me. But your faith is different. Your faith more is that heart of bhakti and that devotion of bhakti. And when things happen that go against one's will, you have faith. God is not cruel. He's giving me himself. Even if he's taking things away and causing me difficulty, he's giving me himself. I think this is one of the arguments that we can use to counter the argument against God that there's evil within this world and therefore how can there be God? Well, you say your perspective is wrong. Good does not always mean nothing. Things can go against your way, but they still can be good. Because God is actually giving himself to you. God's standard is, what will make you happy is your connection with me. Our standard is, what will make me happy is I'm the enjoyer and controller. And then for you develop that faith. And actually you have to develop that faith. Because one day, things are not only going to go against your way, but they're going to completely go against the way of the ego, and you're going to lose your whole life. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says what? The whole question is that point. What is the duty of a man who's about to die, and what should he not do? That point. The answer is, if you want to be fearless, you want to have that confidence at the end of your life, because you've taken shelter of Krishna, you've actually sharanagati, you've actually surrendered, and you've actually seen how in all difficult circumstances, God has given himself. When you live that life, and I think we all have it, many devotees have been here many, many years, look back on your life, and on those difficulties, and see what realization God gave you by the difficulties you are undergoing. And then you'll get faith. And what is that faith? Whatever God does is best. not to make me the enjoyer and control in the world, but to make me his unalloyed servant. And that's worth more than anything. That's worth any price. And Krishna appreciates. I love the story of Mukunda, where he was banned from Lord Chaitanya's association, and the Vaishnavas were so compassionate, their hearts were going out to him because Lord Chaitanya was so angry. If you tell me again that you want me to forgive Mukunda, I will leave this place immediately. And finally, I think it was Advaita Acharya or Srinivas or something came to Lord Chaitanya, please, when will you see Mukunda again? You won't see him for millions and millions of births. And he said, I will. And then Lord Chaitanya, bring Mukunda. Why? Because of his faith. And what was his faith? And this is the secret in Upadeshamrita, when it gives the things that are favorable to devotional service, Utsaha Nistaya Darya. What your confidence and your faith is that connection with God is so valuable that anything you're undergoing now that brings you closer to that point is a small price. You have that conviction, you have that faith. It is worth so much, that goal. And you get that by your experience in devotion, by surrendering and the feelings you get, and then your faith in Shastra, by hearing the Shastra and applying it in your life and seeing the results, and therefore having faith in what the Shastra says, even beyond your perception now, that this is the highest thing. So you have patience. Look at the story of Maharaj Prickett. It's such a nice example. He was cursed to die. What did he say? Sadhu Manye, I think this is good. I think this is good. It will detach me from the world. It will relieve me from my offenses. I think this is good. So Lord's here, he's regretting. Why are they asking for something for me material? Which I will give. I will give that. But there's something higher, and that's myself. So we do have a few minutes, uncharacteristically. Mother Rukmini, you would like to say something? What was Mukunda doing that made him feel angry? Well, you know, Lord Chaitanya was the Acharya. And the Acharya, he has to set examples very, very strongly. So the Acharya, it's not just correcting one person, but he's setting the example. And sometimes, some of his great devotees have to undergo those tribulations because they're the only ones that actually will have the faith to actually tolerate. Sometimes we see that Krishna puts devotees through a lot of tribulations, and a lot of times he puts them through that tribulation because he has that confidence, and the Lord can teach the world through that devotee's example. But with Mukunda, he was in bad association. And you know, impersonalist philosophy is very, very subtle. And sometimes you can't always recognize the contamination, but it's very, very serious. So he was in the association of people whose philosophy was dangerous, ultimately. And sometimes the things that are the most dangerous are the things that appear the most close and can't be actually distinguished. Oh, he's a nice sadhu, you know, he's a beautiful person. Yeah, you know, he's very saintly. But then what is that philosophy? That you know, it's the wolf in sheep's clothing. So Lord Chaitanya was sometimes very, very heavy on subtle things. Look at the story of Chota Haridas. You know, he was just begging for some rice, and Sannyasi and Lord Chaitanya was so heavy because he was the Acharya. He was setting the example. So I think it was either, it was probably Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, impersonalism. One more question, or? Okay, we'll end. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.